Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hey listeners, my name's James.
And I'm Tim.
We're your hosts.
You're listening to The Waiver Wire.
Welcome to the sixth episode of The Waiver Wire. We have a very special guest today, a fellow Aussie, Oklahoma City Thunder expert, Adam Joseph. Say hi, Adam.
G'day, fellas. How are we?
Good, good. You know, we have to go Aussie first, James. Always have to go Aussie first.
Well, Aussies do it better, Tim, don't they? So we've got Adam on today. We're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder and everything that's changed since Durant left. And just his thoughts on some other things going about the NBA. But first, we thought we'd just have a little chat about Adam's new initiative, the NBA Draft 2016.
Initiative's a funny word. I honestly wasn't expecting to talk about that today. So,
well, Tim, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, well, so I was just really interested. Where did you get the idea from?
Just a random Twitter conversation, to be perfectly honest. It was inspired by, I don't know whether you guys know Adam Mayers from SB Nation and Denver Stiffs.
He was my editor.
The NBA PhD program.
Oh, yeah.
I actually made the list this year on that, which I was pretty stoked about. And I really like the NBA Twitter community. It's so welcoming. I mean, compared to, obviously, I'm also part of football or soccer Twitter, because of my involvement with Manchester United. But the difference between the two communities is vast. And everyone is so welcoming. You share each other's work. It's really easy to get to know people. Even national guys, like not the Zach Lowe's of the world or anything. I don't get to talk to them on a daily basis. But like there's a lot of friendly, just awesome people there. And I sort of wanted to celebrate that. But at the same time, Give some praise to guys who do really hard work. And it's really hard to build your following on Twitter. I think you guys would know that. I know that. And I thought it was a good way for everyone to network. And it was just something I was really intrigued to see who would end up wearing the draft. Like, we had heaps of surprises, lots of Aussies on the list, which was cool. But that's probably for the fact that my network does have a lot of Aussies in it already. But that's just upside for us. So no, it was just a heap of fun. I'm glad it went so well. There was obviously a bit of backlash.
Yeah,
a little bit.
there was quite a bit, but I don't see anything negative about promoting people's good work.
Yeah, it worked out well for us. We got a bumper from followers from getting placed there in the second round.
I don't know. Did that actually mean someone voted for us? Which is surprising, but all right.
But yeah, it was awesome. I followed quite a few people out of that because, you're right. It's hard to build your following, and there's a few people whose work goes unnoticed, and just a good way to get everyone out there.
Yeah, no, exactly right.
Well, now that that's out of the way, we'll get down to the serious stuff. So, Well, first of all, how did you think Durant leaving would affect the Thunder?
I felt like I've been going through a breakup all summer, if I'm perfectly honest. I was thinking about it today and it's like I just can't let him go. But it was more, I think people just assumed the offense would fall away. While it's not a juggernaut anymore, it's a good offense, but they won't be finishing second anytime soon in offensive rating. Defensively was where I was worried. I actually thought he was a bigger loss defensively than Ibaka because the Thunder have such poor perimeter defense and a lack of wings and just not having like a small forward now where Roberson's had to slide to small forward. He can't score. Cole Singler hasn't been an NBA player until preseason. It's a little horrible. Yeah, he's like, and his haircut is equally horrible. But he's
everyone always comments about the haircut. I love it.
Oh, my best mate is growing his hair like that, and it is disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. But he's been okay in the preseason. But yeah, just the lack of wing depth in a league where having premier wings is such a thing now, and like we're seeing wings get paid record sums. It's very worrying because it's like the league is zigging and the Thunder is zagging now. So it's a little worrying, that aspect, but they found a way last season to adjust to not doing it the normal way. I mean, last season they didn't do a lot of small ball in the playoffs. They smashed the Spurs with their bigs. They did beat the Warriors with their smalls, but that is the only way you can beat the Warriors, because the Thunder had that rare brand of athleticism now that they don't have, seeing as Durant decapitated the Thunder by leaving. But yeah, I'm really worried about that wing depth. I still think they're above league average on both ends, but it's going to be a little while before we see exactly what it all looks like.
Yeah, I get you. So me and James were talking, and we figured out the one thing that we're kind of worried about most for the Thunder is the spacing issues, especially with a lineup of like Westbrook, Oladipo, Roberson, Sabonis, and Steven Adams. So there's no real like sniper or laser shooter in that group. Oladipo's a fairly decent shooter, but Westbrook's just a volume shooter. So how do you think this will impact the group moving forward with no real like laser shooter?
Well, I think when it comes to the starting lineup, you're looking at probably one of the better defensive five-man lineups in the league this season. Sabonis is a very good reader. I mean, look at his dad. He's a very good reader of knowing where to be on defense, and that's pretty impressive for a young European. It's normally quite a big adjustment coming over, but he seems to be doing quite well. I'm not sure he stays in the starting lineup all season long, but he'll be there for now. Adams has come a long way defensively. To being where he's a premier big man defender. Roberson is one of the league's best defending wings. And then Oladipo is a terrific defender. So, and then Westbrook can defend when he wants to, but that doesn't mean he's a good defender. So, but he defended well yesterday. He didn't gamble. And the defensive rating with him on the floor was excellent. So the way I look at it is, in the terms of the starting lineup, they grind for stops and they still have enough creation on offense to get by. So, obviously, Westbrook's got the ball in his hands a lot. Oladipo actually had the highest open field goal percentage of any player in the NBA last season. So that qualifies as when a guy is more than 6 feet open, what he shoots, and he shot 60%. So you've got to put them in the right spot. So what they've made the mistake with Roberson is actually planting him in a corner. It's the worst thing you can do for a guy who is a confident shooter, and let's be honest, he's still a poor shooter. So what they've been doing is getting him on the move, catching the ball, cutting and slashing, and things like backdoor cuts is things they've been exploiting. So the key is probably creating an offense that works around that. So you can feast off the pick and roll between Steven Adams and Westbrook. And then Sabonis is an all right shooter. Where he fits is a point of intrigue to me. But you can keep Oladipo, or more particularly Roberson, on the move, still in those sets. So I think I think Billy Donovan was very creative.
I understand with Roberson because...
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, you keep going.
No, it's fine.
With Roberson, it's the same sort of thing Houston's been doing with KJ McDaniels, because they finally realised that, yeah, they may improve their shot to maybe like 30% if they're lucky, but trying to get them into the game, things they're strong with, like, they're both quick players, so if you can get them to backdoor cut, and they're good, strong finishers at the rim, so if you can play them to their strengths, you can kind of hide them on offense rather than just sticking them in the corner and trying to play 4 and 5.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I think we assume now in this three-point shooting era that you've got to play 4 out with 1 big, and that means the players have to be on the perimeter. They actually don't. They just have to be on the move. I think you saw with the Australians this summer at the Olympics, it's not necessarily about having great shooters, it's about creating good shots. So just as important as ball movement is player movement, and that's translating into the NBA. You'll notice with a lot of the NBA teams at the moment, they're playing an almost European style of offense where player movement and ball movement overall is star power, where isolation basketball is actually becoming low percentage, unless of course you are Kevin Durant.
So, like, everyone's adopting the Spurs, pretty much. Everyone's becoming that high volume, like, passing, pass, until you get that good shot. There was actually, watching the Chicago game today, and I'm not sure if this is a different example, really, but Rondo was after his 10th assist, you know, how Rondo becomes Mr. Stat Collector. And yes. So he was running towards the rim, and he was in the key for 3 seconds, and he would not take the shot. He was just looking for the best shot, and so he passed it out about another 3 times and then just got cooked for 3 seconds. But, like, he would not take a shot. No one would take a shot until they were completely open for a three. So
I hate Rondo. I hate him.
It's all right. We're not his biggest fans either. Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's just – Chicago shot like 50% or something. Dwayne Wade was 4 of 6, so that speaks of itself from 3-point land. So, I mean, it works, so they might as well do it.
Well, he made 7 threes last season, so.
Yeah. There you go, he makes 4 already.
Yeah.
And they were big ones too.
Oh, well, maybe he should have been shooting more threes.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, apart from spacing and, but I guess, even if you have spacing issues, Westbrook is that good at getting to the rim that he creates kind of gravity. He pulls players towards him, so that kind of creates his own space. But, yeah, I mean, that's where the room for Oladipo comes through. But I guess they're both good at driving to the rim, so someone like Ilyasova comes off the bench, kick outs to him. He would probably be your best 3-point shooter now, apart from Morrow, but I don't know why Morrow doesn't play.
I think Alex Abrines will be the best 3-point shooter. I think people are going to be really surprised by him. The Thunder have been trying to get him over so badly, and I bet they're regretting now seeing what he is. He was EuroLeague's Young Player of the Year last season.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so I think he probably projects to shoot about 40%, which is what we'll need, and particularly because Anthony Morrow probably is not going to play.
Yeah.
I don't get that. He's what did he play? He played one game in the playoffs, maybe. Yeah. Scored 8 points in like 2 minutes and then sat on the bench for the rest of the game.
It's because you can defensively just put him in the pick and roll and isolate him against his man, and he just doesn't have the lateral quickness to stay in front of a guard. He just doesn't. And so he just gets roasted every time, and he's just clearly not a favourite of Billy Donovan.
Yeah, he's really fallen out of the rotation since Donovan came on.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of people who've done that at different teams.
Yeah. Well, so apart from the spacing, do you think they may struggle to score with Adams at centre instead of Kanter?
No, actually, I think Adams will probably be the second option on offense. Yesterday he had,
I think 14.
It was 16.
Yeah, something like that.
So I'm not worried about that. He's showed an expanded offensive game. He's got nice moves from around 10 to 12 feet now. And I'm not too worried about that. I think you'll see Adams have a couple of 20-plus nights this season, probably a few, because I reckon he's probably projecting out to about 13 or 14 points a game, which is probably exactly what you need, because you can't play Canner for more than – I don't expect Canner to play more than 22 minutes a game this season.
That's what I was just about to ask you.
You can't afford that.
What role do you see for Canter anyway?
Probably turn him into a nice bench piece and then – I am thinking, I was going to tweet it out today, but I don't lie. I think I upset Thunder fans enough by still supporting KD. So I was going to say that I expect Enes Kanter or Cameron Payne to be traded this season. More likely Payne during the season and then Kanter next summer, probably on draft night.
Well, the only problem with the trade really is Kanter's salary, which you were the only ones who wanted to match anyway. So that's just a potential thing there. But
I talked about this with Royce Young from ESPN, and he said to me, you can think about it that way, but you have to think about how the salary cap has changed that contract over time. So his contract now is only a sixth of the salary cap. So and teams do need scoring bigs, and one of the things that's become trendy in the last, what would it be, couple of years or 12 months even, is getting a strong scoring big playing against second units like Kanter has. So you're seeing Zebo do that in Memphis, and Okafor's likely going to do that in Philly. So he still has use, but to a team like the Thunder, who are no longer contending for a title, he's a luxury that they don't need anymore. So that's why they matched Portland's offer. But now it makes more sense to trade him. And there will be a market for him. It's just a matter of what the Thunder consider to be a fair asking price.
Yeah, that's very true. So that was another thing we wanted to talk to you about. Philly looked – so obviously you watched Philly versus OKC. Philly looked a lot more dangerous. I watched bits and – well, actually, I watched the whole third quarter of that game. Obviously, we saw the incident with Russell Westbrook, made a good meme. But so Saric and Embiid – Embiid was blowing up NBA Twitter. And Saric looked pretty solid as well. So how do you think – who do you think out of those two – will be better for Philly long-term and this season?
If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
I think both stay. I think that Okafor and Noel clear out. Saric has more use around someone like Embiid because he can space the floor.
Yeah.
Embiid will certainly be better. He's a stud. So I think you can... We don't know what Ben Simmons will look like on in NBA lineups yet. But, I mean, you look at Embiid, Saric, and Simmons, and that's a nice... three. Well, you can almost consider Simmons a big because he's a point forward. So that's pretty good options for Brett Brown, who's a really good coach. Like, he's a really good coach. And I think we'll see that now that Philly are relatively competitive. They'll probably still have the worst record in the league, but they're like last night, they're going to give teams trouble when they actually get their offense going and actually make shots because they have so many streaky offensive players and then they don't really have a lot of direction as far as guards go.
Well, this is what Sam Hinkie died for, huh?
It's funny. It's funny. I was thinking today that everyone mocked and gave Sam Hinkie so much crap the last few years because obviously they were just a tire fire for so long. But now, I mean, last night they were chanting Sam Hinkie's name. They were chanting "Trust the process," and
it's like a cult over in Philly.
yeah. And the funny thing is that Jerry Colangelo is trying to kill the memory of Sam Hinkie, even though the reason that he'll probably end up getting praised is because Sam Hinkie put all these assets together.
Yeah, exactly. Well, from all the tanking and everything, they've got players like Saric, Embiid, and Simmons that they can play, and they have the luxury of getting rid of someone like Okafor and Noel, who they'll get good assets back for players like them. So they're in a pretty good situation, Philly.
Yeah, they really are. I'm just hoping my Carlton Football Club are able to do the same from their tanking. Yeah,
maybe they should have got rid of Bryce Gibbs while he sell high.
Oh, jeez.
Nah, I couldn't do that. they had to keep him, otherwise they'd be in way more trouble.
Yeah, but then he leaves soon anyway. So
he's got another 3 years on his deal anyway.
Yeah, but like you can't have too many bad players. You need to keep a little bit of leadership. I think the problem with Philly is they didn't have enough leaders during this losing.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only thing that they didn't have enough of, is they didn't have good veterans who could help the players through the losing. That's the thing they're going to have to get through first, is teaching them how to keep their heads up through lots of losing. Because that's tough. I mean, look what it did to Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, actually, I'd probably compare Philly more to the Brisbane Lions, which are my team anyway. But, hey, let's not worry about
that.
I don't want to talk about them. They've given me enough heartbreak. The season's over. Let's not worry about it. So, Michael Carter-Williams trade, that was a good thing. I was going to ask you about that. What for you does that mean? Like, when I got the notification saying Michael Carter-Williams was looking to get traded, they were going to do a deal, I was like, well, how does that benefit either team, really? And then Carter-Williams goes, and I was watching today, and he actually played some minutes, which it surprised me even more. So, if he actually plays minutes, who do you think that affects more, Rondo, Wade?
I don't think it affects any of them because it's such a nothing gamble. They had, like, the way I look at it cynically is that Michael Carter-Williams and Tony Snell are the answer to no one's problems.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, like, it's a low risk gamble. Snell wasn't in the rotation. They can take on Carter-Williams. If he can help them, that's great. If he can't, he just gets traded again. So people are always going to take a chance on a guy that put up the inflated numbers that he did in Philly. So Like, I mean, nobody wanted him, to be honest. But Chicago have nothing to lose. They're like a lot of people like me are picking them to be crap. But other people, like, I have a bet on Twitter that if they finish in the top three, my AV has to be a crying Jordan for a year.
That's a safe bet.
Oh, no, no, just for the playoffs. Sorry, just for the playoffs. Thank God. But I was feeling pretty confident about that. I just don't buy into what Chicago is doing. I think it'll sell tickets. As whether it'll translate into wins long term, I'm very cynical.
Yeah, yeah, no, no, I get that. Like, I'm more about the Sam Hinkie, not to that extreme, but like what Denver's done, I'm happy with. To give a couple of years, give away, just gradually move those players on, and then now we've got a couple of good, we've got a good young core, and they're going to be, all of them will be studs, and we still have a couple of players who we can still move on and get even more youth and just keep on going. So I'm more about
NBA's,
that.
The NBA's best kept secret is the Denver Nuggets at the moment.
Yeah, I don't
get why people don't realize. Like, I'm not sure how many games that Denver will win, but that's not really important. It's more important for you guys is just development of the players that you have. You have trade assets. So, like, obviously, I don't think the Nurkic-Jokic experiment will work. I think eventually you'll have to move one, and I think we both know who that'll be.
Yeah.
But you guys have so many options, and then you have players to trade. You have expiring contracts who will have, like, let's look at it this way. Like, with Gallinari, if a team is in playoff contention, like in championship contention down the line, they'll probably be willing to give up a first-round pick for him close to the deadline. And that's probably a good result for you guys because I don't really see the need to keep paying Gallinari.
Yeah, he's going to be moved on because our core's championship like deadline is well after his prime deadline.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, your window won't be open for another while. So you've got players like Chandler and Gallinari who, exactly as you said, closer to the deadline, teams will get desperate for players like this if they think they can really win it this year.
Okay,
Yeah. They'll play a premium for these wing players.
Oh, yeah.
So exactly.
Big things coming from the Nuggets.
But then we have no... See, that's the only problem what we did now with... We waived about three... We had like three or four small forwards all contending for that final spot on the roster. And we waived all of them and decided to keep... who did we keep? I can't even remember. He's not going to play a minute, so it doesn't really matter. But... yeah, as you said, Nurkic, Jokic, that's what I can't imagine with Philly as well. Like, they have Saric, Embiid, Okafor, and Noel. I'm dealing with two. Like, I love both Nurkic and Jokic, and I can't deal with trading one of them. How are they going to deal with trading maybe two or even three of them? Like,
well, I think Noel sealed that deal already when he said that there was no way that it could work. And
yeah,
I don't know. I really like him. So if I was Golden State, I'd be putting everything I could into figuring out how I could get a trade for him.
Yeah. Well, I'd be doing everything I could to put a trade for Anthony Davis at the moment. But
yeah, but he's not going anywhere.
Honestly.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, he's stranded.
Yeah. Honestly, do not want to see that New Orleans team without Anthony Davis. And when I was watching, so do you have League Pass?
I do.
So, you know, you can watch the stream like 15 minutes before and they show all the pregame stuff that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching on the New Orleans one because the Denver one wasn't working yet. And they were showing like Alvin Gentry talking to the fans. He's like, I think we've got the right complement of players this free agency going through that will complement Anthony Davis and stuff. And they were looking at the names. It was like Langston Galloway.
Houston reject Terrence Jones.
Yeah, just honestly. Without Anthony Davis, that team is just
They're
worse
Brooklyn.
Than Philly. They are worse than Philly.
At least Brooklyn has Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, yeah.
They got Sean Kilpatrick. He's a Jet.
He's great.
Yeah.
I think he's good.
Yeah.
Brooklyn will do a lot of losing this year, so it doesn't really matter.
They're always going to do a lot of losing until they get some sense, but that's not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
Do you know who got some sense? The Kings. They got Dave Yeager. They were defending for once. No, I was surprised.
Yeah, I really like Dave Yeager. I think he didn't get enough credit for what happened in Memphis last season. I think they talk about when they talk about Memphis, they attribute it to a veteran culture and the culture of Memphis. But for a coach to hold that together with an injury list as big as New Orleans was last season, we saw what a disaster they were. That was so impressive.
They had no one. Like, they literally had no one left, and he managed to pull them all together. Save for a few couple of blowout wins towards the end, losses to towards the end. But he did like a really good job encouraging these players who were, they're probably, like, let's be honest, they're not NBA level, and they like he got like a solid defense out of them. So I'm excited to see what he can do with Sacramento with players like Rudy Gay, DeMarcus Cousins. He's got a lot better lineup than what he had, what he was dealing with towards the end of last season.
Well, Rudy Gay looked really good today, but apart from that,
he boogie killed it today as well.
Yeah. I don't believe in Rudy Gay. I think he's a myth.
A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, no, he's been floated as coming to OKC. Like, obviously, there was the rumors that he was going to be. It was paying for Gay. I would just be so disappointed if he was to come to my team.
Yeah, he's one of those. There was the same rumors about him going to Houston as well, but this, the same. In reality, he's one of those players who does a couple of shots, but he doesn't really help anyone else. It's all about himself, really. Scores 17.
Teams improve every time he leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Toronto was so much better after he left. Sacramento, we'll see. Because I don't think he'll hang around much longer, to be honest.
No, well, he's already indicated that he's opting out.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
interesting with them to see if Ty Lawson can rehabilitate his career. He's played all right the last two games. I think he's got 18 assists in two games, so...
I think he'll be all right. It's tough because you don't know how to set expectations for a player like that.
Yeah, well, after he fell off a cliff in Houston, it was pretty embarrassing to watch him play.
Yeah, it was embarrassing to watch Houston play though.
Yeah, well, mate, I had to sit through 82 games of that shit last year. So,
oh, you're a Houston fan?
Yeah, I'm a Houston fan.
Oh, apologies in advance. I'm a Houston treasure. So,
you're what? Sorry,
I can't help it. I just trash Houston every chance I get. Yeah.
Well, good. You can join me in doing it.
So does everyone else, mate. It's all right.
Yeah. No, we were they're a betting nightmare.
Yeah, mate. I covered the spread yesterday, and yet again, I was disappointed.
Yep. They cost me so much money last season. Yeah. They became a no-bet team, and then I bet on them yesterday. So, just a disaster.
I always think about that. I'm like, oh. Last year I said I'm never going to bet on them again. And then I'm like, oh, against the Lakers, $2 to cover six points, definitely. Yet again.
No good. Cost
me
my money.
Take my advice, man. Never bet on your own team.
Yeah.
Just never do it.
Well, I bet on Denver, and that turned out pretty nicely, even though AD tried to ruin my night.
Yeah, I guess the Pelicans are the exception to that rule when betting against your own team.
I don't think people understand how bad... If Anthony Davis gets injured, they're the worst team in the West by an absolute mile. Like, they're...
Yeah.
And I think the Lakers will surprise people with how good they'll actually be this year. They won't...
You're just saying that because they beat Houston.
They looked good yesterday. I'm serious. Oh, yeah.
They made Houston look... Did either of you look good.
Did either of you watch any of that game?
No.
Yeah, I did, unfortunately.
In the first half, they were making some seriously tough shots. Like, Houston... It wasn't... Houston was rolling offensively, and they stuck with him. It wasn't that... Houston just didn't play defense and let them do whatever they want. That was in the second half when Nene decided he just wanted to be a turnstile and let anyone go past him. But though, seriously, I think, especially some fantasy options there, D'Angelo Russell was making some crazy threes in the first quarter. And Jordan Clarkson was amazing yesterday.
Yeah, really, I think he's a bargain contract.
Yeah, I can't believe no one... Did anyone make an offer for him?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, he must really like LA. Yeah. That's pretty much what I figure. Well, he's dating one of the Jenners, so that's probably explains a lot.
Oh, yeah, well, there you go. It's probably the only reason you'd want to be in LA. But
I don't blame him.
So. Yeah. No, I understand. Well, Adam, thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Just for the listeners who may not know who you are, do you want to just let them know where they can check all your stuff out?
I was on a podcast like an hour ago, and I said I'm not big on self-promotion, but if you want to come argue with me I am on Twitter at Adam Joseph Sport. I probably hate your team and your favorite player. So come talk to me about it, and maybe we can be friends, and then you can see all the writing and podcasting that I do while you're there.
Well, that's a nice way to get people onto your Twitter page. Come and have an argument with me. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm fun to argue with. No, I'm not.
All right. Thanks once again, Adam. Really enjoyed that. Thanks for coming on.
No worries, guys. Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost the sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo! Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more. And that was Adam Joseph joining us again. So, guys, this is a fantasy basketball podcast, and so me and James are going to use Adam's insight to discuss all of what we've just talked about. So, since he's the premier knowledge on OKC, we're now going to discuss OKC in your fantasy prospect terms.
Well, with Inez Kanter, I know he was an option a lot of people picked probably before 100. I picked him up at, I haven't been one of my leagues, I got him, I think, like 130 or something.
Wow, that's cheap.
So I'm happy with him there. If you can get him 130, that's fine. But for his role, well, 20 minutes...
Defense doesn't matter.
Defense doesn't matter in fantasy. So he got, I don't know, 17 points and 10 rebounds or something in the last... in their game against Philly, off the bench in 20 minutes. If you're picking him up as your backup center with pick 130, that's a fair trade. But I from what Adam said, he doesn't sound like he'll be starting anytime soon.
No.
So you wouldn't want to take the risk on him. Hopefully you didn't take a risk on him early, because that'll cause big trouble for you. But like you said, maybe someone like Roberson or... like a use for Roberson, maybe they'll get Singler will get extended minutes, and if you're in a, this is probably only if you're in one of the 16 team leagues, pick him up as a like an injury replacement maybe, so that option's there for you.
Well, yeah, because he'd be really deep.
Yeah, you'd have to go really deep.
So OKC presents something weird because Russell Westbrook was obviously one of your first three picks, and if he wasn't, then there was something wrong in your league. But what did he go at ours? Pick two? Pick one? I think I went to pick one.
Yeah, I'm pick one now.
But, so Russell Westbrook goes off at number one, and then there isn't another player, apart from Oladipo, really, who you're going to pick in your top, because you don't want Roberson, because defense, as we said, defense means effectively nothing for fantasy.
You don't want Adams. Maybe you want Adams, but he'll be late.
No. Steven Adams is not...
I think he got drafted in ours.
Yeah, not for me. I mean, I might pick him up if no one's drafted him as like a third center, since he's there. But apart from that, there's no real need for me like to have any OKC players apart from Oladipo or Westbrook, because they just don't have that. As we were discussing, they just don't have that shooter that to score the points and get assists and rebounds. They don't have that. I think they lost. They got dominated on rebounds against Philly. So that's something.
Interesting that you do bring up Philly, because I think it'll be interesting with people if they drafted Saric or Embiid, or even if they drafted Okafor, because like Adam said, Okafor's moved to the bench for Embiid, and Embiid played incredibly well in those 20 minutes he played. But is he worthwhile having him if he's only going to come off the bench? I mean, he comes on for an offensive threat. That's why he's there. His defense is suspect, but again, not fantasy relevant. But is it worthwhile getting him? I mean, if he's gone undrafted in your league, that's someone you could think of picking up. But I mean, I don't think there'd be many leagues where he would go undrafted.
Yeah, nah, me neither. What about Sabonis? Do you reckon Sabonis is worth it?
No, I would not pick up Sabonis. He looks like a decent player. He'll be a good player, but like Adam said, I don't think he'll be in the starting lineup for the whole year.
Yeah, and in fantasy terms, he's not something that you're really looking for.
Yeah, he doesn't really get people to put up any stats.
There's so many better options. So, Philly, James, we need to discuss this. We need to get this out in the open. Who do you reckon, Embiid or Saric? Who's going to be the better fantasy player?
Well, for now, I'd be looking at Saric, purely because Embiid's on a minutes limitations, and he did go over it yesterday because they were in a chance to win the game.
But at the moment, I'm going to go with Saric. He didn't have a great game. He looked pretty good, but he didn't have a great game statistically. But I think his ability to stretch the floor, and this is what I was wanted to talk to you about, Tim. Especially in daily fantasy, stretch fours are probably the most valuable player. Yeah, because they get rebounds. If they get a double-double, if you're looking at daily fantasy terms, you get an extra point for that three-pointer. So if they get a double-double, 10 points, they've scored three threes and maybe a free throw.
Yep.
You're looking at like 24 points.
Yeah.
So just players like Saric, they just get a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I take him over Embiid.
Well, I actually drafted Embiid in our league, if you didn't realise, and I'm pretty happy with that. Well, he put up 20 points and 7 rebounds.
Yeah, he played well.
He was dream-shaking, bro.
It's not because Embiid's bad. I'm just saying, at the moment, with him on a minutes restriction, I'd rather have Saric.
Yeah. Nah, who do you reckon wins rookie? My pick would be, for rookie of the year, is definitely going to be Embiid. Just looking at that. Is there another person... If he can win, that is, if he's actually eligible.
But, oh, he can win it. Yeah, you know what? Like, I agree with you, probably. And Beadle, if he continues to play like he did, he'll probably win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, good. So that's a good solid bit. That's good. I might put money on him, to be honest. All right, before we finish up, we've just got one last little segment that me and James have decided to put in. It's called Ad Drop. Yeah, we know, it's original, absolutely. But, so, when you start fantasy, obviously... You pick your team, you think that's going to be the best, and then day one, day two, you're like, this person didn't perform, or there's someone who is better suited to my team. Now, me and James have both made one. Did you make one?
Yeah, I made one.
We've both made one ad drop. So I dropped Robert Covington. He put up a solid performance, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. But I have a soft spot for my man Ty Lawson. He went undrafted. Everyone knows I have a soft spot for him, so he immediately... made his way onto my roster, and I'm stoked. He put in another stellar performance today. Put it up, like, got another 10 assists, couple of points, couple of rebounds, does everything. Got like 30 daily fantasy points for your competition, so I'm stoked with that, to be honest.
So you're telling me Robert Covington is available on the waiver wire?
No, I already picked him up. I dropped Patty Mills and I picked him back up.
You dropped Patty Mills?
Yeah, Patty Mills, nah, he's not doing it for me.
So you've made two changes, mate.
Well, I haven't made that change yet, but I'm going to do it before you do. And I have preference on the waiver wire, so...
Well, that's annoying. Well, yeah, I've made one change. Mistakenly, happens every year, Tim, you get sucked in by preseason. Derek Williams, I thought he was going to be an absolute steal with pick 149 in the draft. Turns out, didn't get a minute against Orlando. Even though he started every preseason game, I thought maybe even he would play 20 minutes off the bench. Behind Luke Babbitt. Nope. Didn't happen. So, I dropped him because it's not like he's in any threat of being picked up. If he gets... Matt does manage to find his way into the Heat lineup, and just grab him back again. But yeah, I dropped him for Ish Smith. So Ish Smith looks... It wasn't fantastic, but he's a pretty... I reckon he's a...
Serviceable.
I was pretty low on guard depth, and he's pretty serviceable. Ish Smith, I think he got maybe... 10 points and 5 assists and 5 rebounds or something. So, yeah, that's just my last player, a little bit extra. It's fine for me to replace Derek Williams getting a big zero. Also had another zero, Chandler Parsons, hoping he'll be back sometime soon because I don't want to drop him because someone will pick him straight back up.
Yeah, that was my problem. I didn't want to drop Patty Mills in case someone picked him up, and he was playing today, so that was my only other problem there. Yeah. So we're both happy.
Yeah.
Both happy customers.
I think I was happy with my ad drop this week.
Let us know who you've ad dropped. I saw a lot of people who had added Ty Lawson. And there's actually a couple of people who dropped him as well. For some reason.
That's a good ad, Ty Lawson.
So, yeah. Let us know who you ad dropped.
Just quickly before we go, just like to give a shout-out to Tim and congratulate him on both winning our first bet of the season and coming 13th in our first opening day fantasy daily fantasy contest. So if you listen to our advice and you jumped on with that lineup, you would have
profited nicely.
Very made a bit nicely. Of money there, actually.
Depending on how much money you put in. So me and James did a that was a free contest. No,
that was the $5 contest.
That was the $5 contest, and we also did it in a $15 one. And in the $15 one, we made a prop. We got what, $120?
Yeah.
So that's a nice, definitely a nice product.
Finishing 13th, yeah.
So.
that's fantastic. So that should be a lesson for you all. Listen to our advice, because we got y'all.
Everyone, don't sleep on us.
Yeah, don't. Oh, that was weird. Yeah. Honestly, don't sleep on us.
We're here to give you the advice, and we're doing it for free. And what we want to know is that you guys are winning money with us. So, thanks for tuning in, guys. Thanks again to Adam Joseph. Absolute gem of a bloke.
What a champion.
Gem of a bloke. Good old Aussie bloke.
Thanks, everyone. See you all next week.
Understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep and she don't know where to find them. Yo,
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.